stand on the ground today, but we will crack on. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to meet in your house, for the success that we've had so far and fixing walls, Lord, and the weather. We just really praise you and thank you for that. And pray, Lord, please, that we would get many more years of service out of this building. Thank you too, Lord, for the finishing of the sale of the property. And Lord, for the turning of that over to our hands. And we pray, Lord, too, that this church can stand for many years. Even, Lord, should it be just declared for the tribulation. But Lord, you know. Put your hand upon each one of us, Lord, this morning as we gather around. And Father, we just love you and thank you. And pray your good hand upon all of our brethren, wherever they might be in the world. Especially, Lord, for those in countries where, well, they really hate you, Father. But please save souls. Please work in people's hearts and minds. Please greatly convict the leaders of our countries about proper behaviour. Please, Lord, preserve the Jews. And, Lord, just pray for the folks. I think it was in Rotterdam, Lord, where the police actually fired upon people protesting these injection mandates. We love you and thank you. Pray your good hand upon us as we enjoy this time together. And be with our absent brethren. We love you and thank you. Amen. I don't know if anybody came across that, but please do pray for those folks. It's a little bit like the folks at Stormont, turning up at Stormont to complain about the lockdowns, and the PSN had opened fire on them. I think two people were injured. And the possibility is, once that starts, that they will have no problem opening fire properly and killing people next time around. So please do pray for the folks there. Number three in the wee black books, if you'd like to take and turn there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All people that on earth do dwell.
People that on earth do dwell, sing to the
books. And if you want to turn to hymn number 137. 137 in times like these. We'll just remain seated as we sing this one as well.
Corinthians, the second letter to Corinthians 2, chapter 4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants of Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded this light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge, the glory of God, in the face of Jesus Christ. We have the treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and external weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Amen.
Amen. Good verses. We definitely need to hear them and be mindful of course, what we set our eyes and our ears and our hearts and minds on. Anyway, glad to have everybody here this morning. Please do pray for those that aren't. Does anybody have any prayer list or prayer requests that they want to add to our list? Are there any more prayer requests? If nobody has any more, I would just ask, and I already made mention of it, that you would pray for Rotterdam, where police fired upon civilian protesters. I'm not talking about Black Lives Matter or any of these people, but civilians. So please do pray for that. We know already that many of the police forces are getting ready to, I think the word is enforce a rule of law on the citizenry to oppress. It's already happened here in this country when the police went in very, very heavily handed a few months back, I think it was during the summer, upon women and basically weaker side of society whenever they had a peaceful protest at Stormont. So I guess if you're out there protesting Black Lives Matter, you're having a peaceful protest, but if you say anything about the government and the way it's running things, you are having street riots, and that's the way it is being portrayed. So a lot to be prayed for, a lot to be considered, but this seems to be the way things are going. And sadly, these people that are making the rules, in our country as well, are not renowned for self-control or for their humility, and they're not renowned for admitting when they're wrong. So they are not going to say, yep, we were wrong, it's all been a hoax and a big mess, and we don't need to lock the houses or the shops and things down. Really, just what people need to do is look after themselves properly. They're not going to do that. We need to be prayerful, and we need to be mindful that these things are going to be happening. Just make sure you don't get caught in them, don't get hurt. Please continue to pray for Stan. He is recently diagnosed as diabetic. He's got a few life changes coming his way, so please do pray for him. Pray for Pat and Steve, Christy and Taylor. Do also pray for Will's mom, Christine as she and his granny, Mary Ann, get or bring two houses into one house. There's a lot going on. Please do pray for them as well up in Blackburn. We appreciate your continued prayers for Norman and myself and the weather, and indeed for anybody else that is free whenever we're working. Your help is always greatly appreciated. We have finished this part of the church on the outside. It's not finished on the inside. We are hoping to get maybe a couple of windows in at some stage, but all of the windows on that side of the church were all compromised. There's a plastic frame, and inside the plastic frame is a sealed double glazed unit, and the sealed units all on that side of the building were all broken, and so there was water was getting in, there was vapor was getting in, and I'm sure maybe, Ling, maybe you even noticed sometimes stuff growing inside the window. No matter how much you rub it, it wouldn't go away. So we might have to split the windows between either side until such a times as we see about getting all of the windows replaced. But we want it, because on a day like that, we really want the sunshine coming into the church. We really do miss it, but please do pray about that. The walls are going to have to be fixed up, at least on that side, and probably on that side too, and out the back. The gable end there and the gable end at the back of the church. But the main thing is we have about 25 feet of wall to work on that way there, and we're hoping to get that done tomorrow. We'll get it all done tomorrow. If we had a team of men to jack up the wall and four teams working constantly at that, we would, yeah. But within a week, I would say, a working week. But Lord's been very good. The weather's been very good for us. I think it was it Saturday morning? I woke up to the sound of rain hammering on the roof, and I just thought, thank you, Lord. That could have been any other day of the week that we were out trying to get work done. But it wasn't, so we appreciate that. I appreciate Norman and his skill and his tools, most especially. I've seen some tools put to some interesting uses. Appreciate Will for the work he was able to contribute, and for Colin as well, whom we missed this morning. There's still a fair bit to do. You may have noticed we have already started clearing away some of the debris from out the back of the church. There's still a great bit more to go. So, amen. We appreciate your prayers for that. Please don't forget each other. It's coming up to Christmas. Don't forget the real reason for Christmas. And if you haven't spent your £100 card, make sure that you do, in case the government changes its mind. And get something that'll tide you over for a bit. Or spend it on something foolish, but make sure you spend it and get a turn out of it. I think that's about that, isn't it? I think it is. I will have a word of prayer, and then we'll sing another song or two. So, well, if you wouldn't mind leading us, I'd appreciate it if you would go ahead there, Will.
Dear Father, thank you this day, Lord. Thank you for being safe and secure into your presence today, Lord. You're from over, Lord. Be in this church, Lord. Guide Mark in the gospel, Lord, and the songs, Lord. And draw us closer walk with you, Lord. Your pastor's bad, Lord. But Frank is in London, Lord. But from there, Lord, as he's in Wednesday, Mark, both of them left in many trouble, Lord. And John Pusty and Griffith and Blessing, also with Charlotte and Colin, Lord, keep them safe and well, Lord, and bring them in the house at one time, Lord. Lord, Griff, save Stephen, Carl, and John, Lord, and Lord, bring them to church next point time as well, Lord. Griff and Taylor and Christy, Lord, also in the States, Lord, for many trouble, Lord, helping the paperwork, helping get through the red tape, Lord, and Lord, provide for them and keep them, Lord, and bless them. And bless the union and keep them safe and well, Lord. Professor as well, Lord, Taylor, Lord, of many trouble, Lord. And Taylor, we'll come back and look for any trouble, Lord, and bring the church next appointment as well, Lord. Professor Steve, have put him in the diabetes, give him respite and rest and recuperation, Lord. And we have Steve on all these conditions, Lord, that you may heal, Lord, or at least reduce the pain, Lord, and reduce the hardship, Lord, of that as well, Lord. And Lord, also remember Stan, he's up in the bag, Lord, help him with his diabetes, Lord, and reduce it, Lord, and help him overcome it, Lord. I bless my kingdom with all the congregation up there as well, Lord. With all sister churches, Lord, bless each and every one of them, Lord, and save the lost and restore the backslider as well, Lord. Let us this day, Lord, may be a blessing to us, Lord, and may we really enjoy it in thy presence. For thy honor, for thy glory, for Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Will. Let's take our hymn books again. Wee black ones, if you would, Mrs. Bradfield, if you would play number 2 for us in the wee black books. We'll stand and sing at this blessed old book. Hymn number 2, this blessed old book. Just when we're there, we'll sing Calvary Covers It All. Amen.
Jesus alone, for my sin, please, right home.
See the way I said, are we singing the wrong verse? But it was actually me singing the wrong verse. But did you see the way I recovered? I actually hit the right line in the following verse.
We never noticed.
No, no. Anyway, we're in the book of Esther. If you would like to take your Bibles and turn there, the book of Esther. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. Esther chapter 2. About, I would say, maybe a third of the way into the Bible. We're in Esther chapter 2, and I'd like to speak on the subject of a little bit of faith, or, if you like, wheels within wheels. And no, we're not speaking of Ezekiel and the wheels within the wheels there. We're speaking of wheels within wheels as plans and scheming and one thing and another. But a little bit of faith. Esther chapter 2. The Word of God says that after these things, and we'll come back to those in a little bit, when the wrath of King Ahasuerus was appeased, he remembered Vashti and what she had done and what was decreed against her. And then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, let there be fair young virgins sought for the king, and let the king appoint officers in all the provinces of his kingdom, that they may gather together all the fair young virgins unto Shushan the palace, to the house of the women, unto the custody of Hege, the king's chamberlain, keeper of the women, and let their things for purification be given them. And let the maiden which pleaseth the king be queen instead of Vashti. And the thing pleased the king, and he did so. Now, in Shushan the palace, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite, who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captivity, which had been carried away with Jeconiah, the king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away. That's a lot of carried away. And he brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother, and the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. And it came to pass, when the king's commandment and his decree was heard, and when many maidens were gathered together unto Shushan the palace to the custody of Haggai, that Esther was brought also unto the king's house to the custody of Haggai, keeper of the women. And the maiden pleased him, and she obtained kindness of him, and he speedily gave her things for purification with such things as belonged to her, and seven maidens which were meet to be given her out of the king's house. And he preferred her and her maids unto the best place of the house of the women. Esther had not shown her people nor her kindred, for Mordecai had charged her that she should not show it. And Mordecai walked every day before the court of the women's house to know how Esther did and what should become of her. Now when every maid's turn was come to go in to King Ahasuerus, after that she had been 12 months, according to the manner of the women, for so were the days of their purifications accomplished, to wit, 6 months with oil of myrrh, and 6 months with sweet odours, and with other things for the purifying of the women. Then thus came every maiden unto the king. Whatsoever she desired was given her to go out with her out of the house of the women unto the king's house. In the morning she went, and on the morrow she returned into the second house of the women, to the custody of Sheashgaz, the king's chamberlain, which kept the concubines. She came in unto the king no more, except the king delighted in, and that she were called by name. And when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go into the king, she required nothing but what Haggai, the king's chamberlain and keeper of the women, appointed. And Esther obtained favour in the sight of all them that looked upon her. So Esther was taken unto King Ahasuerus into his house royal in the 10th month, which is the month Tebeth, in the seventh year of his reign. And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favour in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. And the king made a great feast unto all his princes and his servants, even Esther's feast, and he made a release to the provinces and gave gifts according to the state of the king. When the virgins were gathered together the second time, then Mordecai sat in the king's gate. Esther had not yet shown her kindred nor her people, as Mordecai had charged her. For Esther did the commandment of Mordecai, like as when she was brought up with him. In those days, while Mordecai sat in the king's gate, two of the king's chamberlains, Bigthan and Teresh, of those which kept the door, were wroth, and sought to lay hand on the king Ahasuerus. And this thing was known to Mordecai, who told it unto Esther the queen, and Esther certified the king thereof in Mordecai's name. And when inquisition was made of the matter, it was found out. Therefore, they were both hanged on a tree, and it was written in the book of the Chronicles before the king. Amen. Let's have another word of prayer. We're taking that as our text. We're going to be speaking about the whole book of Esther. We seem to get through an awful lot more of the Bible when we take a book at a time and not a verse at a time. But this is it's just the way it is. Anyway, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for this time around your word. Please bless it. Please open our understanding. Please help us to see, Lord, the lessons that you want to teach us all this morning. Be with our absent brethren, wherever they might be, and protect them, I pray, hearts and minds and souls, Lord. And we just love you and thank you, and we pray all these things, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. It just struck me, even as I was reading this morning, that women seem to be getting a bit of a rough deal here. I never thought about it. The number of times I've read the book of Esther, I tend to read it in its entirety, but we're talking about the king. What's going on is, in the previous chapter, King Ahasuerus had a queen called Vashti, and the king was having a party, and he was probably quite merry, and he called the queen, and she was quite a good-looking woman, the Bible says. And she refused to come. She outright refused to obey the commandment of the king. And the king was a bit miffed at this, and he asked his advisors what he should do. And they said, well, the first thing you should do is go and look for another queen. Remove the crown from Queen Vashti and give it to someone that is better than her. And that's exactly what happened. The king had this roundup of all the best-looking wee girls in the land, and, of course, Hadassah. It's a funny thing, we get to hear the worldly names more often of the likes of Esther, of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and we very rarely hear the names of Hadassah, and Azariah, Hananiah, and Mishael. But that's just the way it is, and Esther gets gathered up with the rest of all of these wee girls. Now, before we go any further, I want you to spare a thought for the character of the characters that we're going to be reading about here. Queen Vashti, a good-looking woman, quite a powerful position in the land, thought that maybe even trusted in her beauty and the unassailability of her position to behave just whatever way she wanted. And she thought she could disobey the king. Bear in mind, we're in the days of the Medes and the Persians, and whatever the king said went, even to the death of people, as we will see as the story progresses. The king was a fair king, but he was a wise king too, in that he referred to his advisors from time to time, and he asked their opinion. We have Mordecai I think pretty much Mordecai would have been Esther's cousin, because Esther was his uncle's daughter. So a distant relation on a par. So she was probably a much younger cousin. Something happened to her mom and dad. Could even have been during the time that Israel was taken into the captivity. But mom and dad died, and Esther faced life as an orphan. And that normally did not go very well for people. There were no social services back then. People depended upon families to take up the slack, to look after the elderly, to look after the very young, to look after cousins or whatever there was like that. So Esther, I am sure, appreciated that. And the Bible records that while she was also very fair to look upon and beautiful, she was also very humble. And one of the last things that we read about her there was that Esther did the commandment of Mordecai like as when she was brought up with him. So what happens as we go on here, and we're going to go beyond, in a moment, we're going to go beyond chapter 2 into the rest of the book of Esther. There was also another man called Haman, and Haman was an Agagite. Now, I don't know, I might have to, would probably bear further study, but the only other Agag that I ever came across was a man that was put to death at the hands of Samuel, whenever Saul failed to do so. But he was probably a local, and he was quite an important man. And for whatever reason, whether he pulled a rabbit out of the hat, whether he worked really, really hard, but he got noticed, and he got promoted pretty much to the second most important man in the kingdom. And everything was hunky-dory. Before we get to that, however, we get to the end of chapter 2. And we see this deed that Mordecai did for King Ahasuerus. Mordecai, as he sat and in the king's gate and watched and listened, he came across these two lads, Bigthan and Teresh, who were servants of the king, chamberlains. In other words, they weren't just Joe public servants, they were quite important servants. They had a little bit of authority and power, and he found out that they were going to kill the king. And he passed the word on to Esther, who passed the word on to the king, and they made a few inquiries, as they say on TV, the police are making their inquiries, and they found out that it was true, all the things that Mordecai had said. And these two men were put to death. They were hanged. And that was home. That was grand. And that's all that they ever hear of the matter for a little bit. Mordecai gets lifted up in chapter 3. Not Mordecai, Haman. Haman gets lifted up. And I'm sorry about mixing up the names. Sometimes all these new names coming flying at you can be quite intimidating. And Haman, he gets given the keys to the kingdom. Everything's great. He's got money. He's got lands. He's got houses. He's got 10 sons. He's got a wife. And everything's great, except every time that he passes Mordecai in the streets or wherever, everybody else bows and praises him and worships Haman. But Mordecai doesn't. He refuses to. And this really irks the life out of Haman. And Haman, he starts to organize to have Mordecai killed. And he finds out that Mordecai's a Jew. And he organizes a gallows to be set up for him. And as time goes on, not very much time, he organizes to pay the king 10,000 talents to have all of the Jews in the land killed, because one man refused to bow to him. Now, all of this time, When Mordecai was a straight down the middle of the road sort of a guy, he played by the rules, he stuck by God's law. The only thing that he did, if you could call it underhand, was tell Esther, go on and turn that heater down a wee bit there, Will, if you would, is tell Esther not to reveal that she's a Jew. Now, a little bit more of Esther before we go a bit further. The whole story, the whole book, is named for Esther. She has been swept up by the king. She has been given to Haggai, the chamberlain of all the young women in the women's quarters. And she has been found to be the most amenable, the most pleasant of the young women that has been gathered up. Now, it was a position, I am sure, of great honour back in the day to be selected to be a concubine or indeed queen to the king. Bear in mind that Ahasuerus was at the head of one of the world kingdoms that had been prophesied by Daniel. The biggest kingdom in the world. People's lives could be forfeit at any moment. And it paid you to have a good attitude. And Esther really did. Whenever she joined this group of young women that were being, assessed for their suitability as queen, there's a fellow there called Haggai. And he was put in charge of organizing them. And the rest of the young women, by the signs of things, had these airs and graces about them, and they would be thinking, oh, I'm possibly going to be the queen. And probably got all full of themselves, but not Esther. She was found to have a good spirit. She probably treated this Haggai properly as a person. She listened to him and his advice, whereas all of these other young women, they became entitled. There's a verse of scriptures there that says that these young women, as they went into the king, were told that they could have pretty much whatever they wanted. And they did. But a verse later it says when it came to Esther's turn to go in to the king, that she did not take anything else with her than what Haggai gave her. She didn't think that, oh, I'm going to make sure I get this for myself and I'm going to make sure I get that for myself. She just went in and used the advice of the chamberlain of the women. And the word of God says that of all the young women that the king had to choose from, that he found Esther to be the most beautiful on the inside and beautiful on the outside as well. So that's how Esther got to be crowned the king. And let's step on a little bit. We have found out that Haman, the Agagite, this very self-centered and entitled and full of himself man that has been promoted to a very important position of authority and power in the country, hates Jews. Most importantly, he hates Mordecai, and he plans to make a gallows to kill Mordecai. On top of that, to kill all the Jews. He's paid 10,000 talents of silver to the king, and the king puts it into law that the Jews should be killed on such and such a date. Mordecai finds out, and he goes to Esther, and he says to Esther, Esther, the king has put in place a plan to kill all of the Jews in the country. And Esther, I think there's a wee bit of back and forth with Esther, and he says to her, look, don't you think for one second that just because you're in the king's palace that this will pass you by. If you do not do what you can to save your people, salvation for the Jews will arise from another quarter. But who knows that you are here for such a time as this? And I know we've heard messages over the years on that portion of God's word. And what does Esther do? She says, well, I can't go into the king because he hasn't called for me. And if I go in and he doesn't extend the scepter to me, the king's guards will actually kill me. But I'll tell you what you do, she says to Mordecai, have everyone that is concerned submit themselves to 3 days of prayer and fasting and petition God for me. And she did the same. And after the 3 days were up, she went into the king, and the king, because he loved Esther, and because he thought she was a good person, she was humble, she was amenable and workable, he put his scepter out to her, and she was able to go up to him, and he said, Esther, what would you like? And she says, King, or maybe it's better, hubby, I would like to make a feast for you, and I would like for Haman to come along to it as well. And so, that's put in motion. And I think it's a day or two down the line, but that night the king is going to his bed and he can't sleep. The king is in his bed and he's saying, look, get me the Chronicles. You know where you or I might call up something on the internet or read a newspaper? The king said, get me the Chronicles. And he was reading about the things that had happened in the land, and he found out about Mordecai. He found out that his life had been saved and nothing had been done for him. And so he said to Haman, is there anyone, no, he said to the servants, is there anyone in the palace? Because this was late at night. And Haman was there. And he called Haman and he said to him, Haman, what should be done for the man in whom the king delights? And Haman, of course, thinking the king was talking about him, said, let him be clothed in the king's clothes, and let him be put on the king's horse, and let him be led through the country by the greatest of men in the country. And the king says, do you know what? That sounds great. Go and do that all for Mordecai. And all of a sudden, realization started to dawn on Haman. He thought, hold on a second. I have planned to kill this man, and I have planned to kill all of his people, and the king is honoring him. And he's gone home, and his own family actually says to him, there's wheels turning within the wheels that you've been turning, and they're turning against you. And even as he's sitting there at home with a big long face on him, considering what's going to happen with these gallows built 50 cubits high, that's like 75 foot high, he's going to make a big spectacle of it. The king's chamberlains come and say, Haman, it's time for tea with the king and the queen. And so the king and Haman and the queen are having their tea. And the king is really pleased and he says to Esther, Esther, what is your petition? Even up to half of my kingdom. And Esther says, O king, I petition you for my life. And the king said, what? What do you mean you have to petition me for your own life? And he says, yes, there has been an attempt is going to be made on my life, and it's been made by Haman. And she explains about this purge on the Jews, and the king is so mad that he gets up and walks away for a minute to collect his thoughts, and Haman throws himself at the queen to say, oh queen, please, please. And the king walks back in, and Haman is lying across the queen's bed, where the lounge or wherever it is that they lie to eat. And he says, are you not only going to kill the queen, but you would force yourself on her in my house, in my presence? And at that very moment, his fate was sealed, and he was hanged from the very gallows that he was planning to kill Mordecai on. Now it goes on, and the queen gets the king to put into law that about this purge and the Jews, and the king says, "I cannot change the law of the Medes and the Persians, it has to stand." But the queen said, "Well, at least let the Jews defend themselves." And so that also is put into law. Now, you might think that whenever the law says that you're allowed to pick on somebody, that's okay and that you can go and do it. But whenever the law says that that person is allowed to pick right back at you again, you would think twice about doing it. Obviously, the people in the land didn't, because there was some hatred for the Jews. The Word of God states that 75,000 people died trying to kill all of the Jews. 75,000. The Jews rose up and defended themselves. We need to take a moment or two just to consider all that's going on and how that fits with the title of A Little Bit of Faith. There was a lot going on. There was at least one major plot. There was a plot uncovered that seemed to be completely separate from to kill the king, completely separate from the plot to kill all of the Jews. And two people obeying God, Mordecai for God and country. He did what any good citizen would do and revealed this to the authorities, and they took care of it. And a little girl that was a nobody, less than a nobody, didn't even have a family. Because of her humility and her willingness and her desire to trust in the Lord and to obey those that were set above her, especially God, was put into a position whereby she could effectively save all of the Jews in the country. And all they had to do was act in faith. All they had to do was do the right thing. All they had to do was take and use their position the right way. Mordecai used his position to influence the queen. The queen used her position to influence the king. All the time, there was a consideration for God's people and a willingness to go out on a limb. Yes, Esther had to take her life in her hands. But already the days and weeks and months and years that had led up to that particular time, her teaching, her obedience to her, in quotes, her legal guardian, her parent or her father, made sure that she was ready to obey her Father in heaven. And through that, the Jews were saved. Evil people, Christ rejectors, went to their deaths. Hence the old saying about making a rope to hang yourself with, and that's exactly what Haman did. He tried to kill a good man, and goodness won through, just by simply obeying the Lord, and he was hung by the gallows that he had made to kill other people. Friends, we would be well advised to not worry about our upbringing. There's nothing you can do about everything that's gone past. To not worry about our social standing or our financial standing. But we should worry about our standing with God and whether we are ready and willing to obey him and to trust that it will all work out. And that's what the story shows us. This little girl. And normally we're speaking about the likes of Joseph, for instance. A young man cast down and elevated to great heights simply because of his good attitude and his willingness to serve God. Here we see a young girl in exactly the same situation. cast down to nothing, but elevated up to second only to one of the most, to the most powerful man in the world, simply because she was willing to trust in God, to serve and grow where she was planted, but most importantly, to trust in God, to do things His way. I'm sure we've come across people that are very full of themselves, and you think you pretty much only have to turn on the TV or watch YouTube, and you will see many, many people that think that good looks and beauty and youth are the most important things in the world, closely followed by money and the love of it and all the things that money can get. And that does something to people. It makes them conceited and it makes them very self-centered. And you can see another lesson here of how that can affect people. It resulted in Haman's death, and it resulted in the deaths of 75,000 other people, simply for one man being stupid and self-centered. Friends, anybody that has their eyes on the Lord, that is trusting the Lord, that is willing to obey the Lord, that has a little bit of faith and distributes it evenly throughout their lives from early in life, and as you grow in your knowledge and understanding of the scriptures, you grow in the things that you're prepared to do for the Lord, that little bit of faith can make a world of difference. There's many, many other examples. We spoke of Joseph, you have Moses, you have Noah, Elijah, you have Ruth as well. You have the disciples, all of these men exercised a little bit of faith in an almighty God. And that made the world of difference. In fact, it changed the world so much that we'll never get over it. A little bit of faith. You and I don't know what's going on in the background. We don't know what's going on in people's hearts and minds. And God has yet to come to my door to ask for my advice. He doesn't need to. And to be quite honest with you, I'm not sure whether my advice would be any good. He knows what needs to be done. And He knows the people that He has convicted in the wee small hours of the night, just like He did for King Ahasuerus. And He knows the people that are troubled every day with the burden of their sins. He doesn't need for us to know that. All He needs for us is to be faithful. Just to do what He asks us to do. And that is the recipe for a great Christian life. Great for you, the Bible says. Everything will work together for good to those that love the Lord, to those that are saved, and to those that are the called according to His purpose, to those that obey Him. Everything will work out the best for you, but it will also work out the best for people around you. They'll get the chance to hear the gospel and even get saved. Now, whether they do or not is entirely between them and God, but they will get that chance. And all God asks you to be is faithful. And maybe even a bit daring. Many years ago, there was a man that saw Jesus Christ walking on the water, and he dared to go to Him on the water. And trusting in the Lord, that's exactly what the Lord enabled him to do. We still worship the same God. That same Savior is still saving souls in exactly the same way. And I haven't seen anybody cross the foil on foot as yet, without a bridge or a boat or anything like that. But there are equally as miraculous lives happening all around us, and those that will trust the Lord. So have a little bit of faith and trust in the Lord. We're going to stop there. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. All right, let's sing a song, and then we will be finished for the morning. If I can just find it here, give me a second. We're in the big books. Nope, it's not that one. There it is there. There it is, 185. 185, we'll stand as we sing My Savior in Love. Please be with again absent brethren. And please help us, Lord, not just today, but for the days and weeks and months and years until you come again. Please, Lord, again look after our missionaries and those that are fighting the good fight, and on behalf of others, Lord, please, I pray, provision and help. Lord, watch us as we go home, see us safely there, and back, I pray, at the next appointed time. We love you and thank you. And we ask all this, Father, in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you. Thank you very much indeed.